Beloved, Be Loved. That's the series, and we're excited to be able to share that with you. We believe that living in the love of Christ is the laboratory course for the Christ life. When you commit to every day with everyone in every place that you find yourself to actually be a vessel for the flow of the love of Christ, to live and move in the love of Christ, you are on the surest and simplest path right there to actually experience a powerful, discipling, developing relationship with Jesus. Your connection to Christ is absolutely mandatory. It's a clear part of what has to happen in you, because that's why Jesus said, this is, if you ever get this right, if you ever get to the place where you're able to love everybody in the same way, at the same level that I'm loving you, then they will know, everyone will know, all men will know that you're my disciples because you have this love one for another. Not just that, hey, how you doing? I'll scratch your back, you scratch my love. But no. It's this love of Christ. And when it gets into our hearts, it only comes from our connectionship, our connection with the Lord. And so this is the reality of what we want to share with you. And we're excited about that. So beloved, be loved. And here's the scripture that goes with this entire series. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's exciting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's an exciting piece of truth.
That's important that, you know, as we began last week with 1 John and explored this us and we and our, you do find, just like you said beautifully, Rex, is that the Christian life is, and we have to understand this, at the core of who we are, is a shared experience. It's first shared with the Lord and then shared with others. And when we understand it's a shared experience, then there's something that happens in us that compels us to move toward this love relationship that we have with God so that it extends toward others. And you find that as John begins to write in 1 John 1, starting in verse 5, this is what he said. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, John gives us some strong words to consider here. He's dealing with ultimately a dishonest spirituality. The people of his day, they really confused religion with relationship. And that kept them ultimately living in a form of darkness. And this is a dangerous place to live. I think that a lot of people, they don't really take what the Bible talks about and uses as a picture for us, darkness. I don't believe they take that seriously. I think a lot of times we just cast it off. And I think it's always fair to ask ourselves, do we take darkness seriously? Or do we just assume that darkness is somewhere else? Or are we, even in this day, do we confuse religion for light? And then how do we even know? It's this comparing that John does that helps us to understand, are we living some form of deceptive spirituality, or are we living the Christ life? Now, what I find so oftentimes for a lot of people, they're almost like what we would call Christian spies. They kind of live their life somewhat in the shadows, because while they admit and look toward the light, they still hold back to a place in the darkness where the full expression of who they are, the good, the bad, the ugly, is not seen or understood by people around them. And so what oftentimes happens is that they look and long for this change to happen in their lives, but because they live the life in the shadows and never truly move into the fullness of the light, they find themselves more in a struggle of losing than actually overcoming and being victorious. But John is saying to you and me that, beloved, step out of the shadows and live in the light. For it's there that you will find and learn how to be loved. And we can really only do this by understanding the message that he's bringing of contrast, of conflict, and of challenge.
I think that's so true. It's interesting because the stark difference that exists between the daylight and the darkness is something that John is making very, very clear to us. And so this calling to step out of the shadows, step out of the shaded zones into the place where the full light, the full life, the full love of the Lord becomes our kind of daily portion. That is really, beloved, being loved. And so it's interesting to me that when we try in describing things to speak of some really massive difference, this thing has changed. Maybe you went through, maybe even during this whole locked in at the house, you went on this crazed diet and, you know, you exercised like a mad champion and you're going to emerge, you know, 20 or 30 pounds different than you were, you know, or the before and after pictures. When people want to describe these massive changes, they say, it's like day and night. It's like day and night. That's kind of the ultimate contrast, day and night. And that's exactly the language that John is using here of living in the love of Christ, is when you live in the daylight, when you live in the light of Christ, or you live in the shade, you live in the shadows, you live in the darkness. And so it's a very clear contrast here, the difference between the daylight and the darkness. And so in this contrast, there's just a couple of things that we want to share with you, because I think it's powerful when you think it through in this particular way. Daylight reveals and darkness conceals. And we printed that for you, so we want you to capture this. Daylight reveals and darkness conceals. And it's almost silly to say it because it's so true and everybody gets it. But here's the truth of Scripture that marries itself to this. People love darkness rather than light. There are some people who choose the darkness. That the Scripture says the people who go out and they have a bad agenda, or they want to get drunk, or they want to steal, or they want to do bad things, they do it not in the daylight. They do it in the darkness. Nobody walks in and says, hey, I'm going to rob your store today. They don't do that. They come in when the place is supposed to be shut down and it's all nighttime, because men love darkness rather than light because their agenda is evil. And so when you're committed to doing the wrong things, you're wanting to conceal that. You're wanting to hide that. In fact, it's don't feel like you invented this. This is what happened in the garden. When the first day that sin entered into the world, in this beautiful, idyllic creation where everything was absolutely perfect and God had given it to these people that he loved, his beloved Adam and Eve, and they sinned. They chose to not trust in the love of Christ. They chose to trust more in themselves than they would in the fact of God's love for them. And as soon as they realized their sin, here's what they said. We hid ourselves. We hid ourselves because we were ashamed. We were naked. We had this need. So we had to hide because somehow we can't be loved anymore by God. And that is so not the truth. Beloved, beloved. And we need to see this, because when you move into the light, you're moving into the revelation. You're moving into the you're not coming in saying, oh, I'm perfect. Oh, everything's great. You're coming in saying, you're great and you're perfect. And your love for me is not, you know, hinging on my good or my bad behaviors. God so loves sinning sinners who sin while they're sinning. This is the truth of what we celebrate, that God loves us and that Christ died for us, not because we had this great potential, but because he has this great love for us. And so the light reveals this truth. And he is the light. This is the condemnation, Jesus said, that light in himself comes into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And then he went on to say, and this is an interesting one, he said, you know what, a person who does evil, they really hate the light. They hate to be exposed for those things because they have this evil agenda. But a person who does truth comes to the light, so that it could be manifest that whatever they've done has been done from the Lord. Now, that's an interesting comparison to me and a contrast as well, because Jesus contrasts evil not with good, but with truth. He doesn't say the antidote for your evil ways is, you know, just do a bunch of good. That's we're back to human doings again. And that whole idea that somehow I have to be on a quest to make myself acceptable. I'm accepted in the beloved. I am loved by God. We are the beloved. And God is calling us to be loved. And so the person who does truth, and here's the truth, even though I'm faulted and flawed and have maybe just fallen down just now, he still loves me with an everlasting love, and I can come into the light of God. And the revelation of this will just stir my soul. I don't have to hide from God. Ooh, hallelujah. What a great truth to celebrate. The other thing that I want to just point out to you is that light, daylight, promotes vision. It's really, we're capable to see everything because it's exposed. We see it. And so there it is. You don't have to guess. Whereas the darkness enhances this idea of imagination. It stimulates this suggestion idea. If you've ever been in a dark place, you understand what I'm talking about. You know, what could be happening? You know, what could be out there? If you don't know, they build these, they call them fun houses. I don't know how much fun they actually are, because when you get into the place and it's totally dark and you have to kind of put your hands out to the two sides to sort of feel your way around. And then they put these tricky little things in there, you know, that your hand will touch this fuzzy thing. And it's like, wah, you just jump backward. That it's the darkness that enhances that, because the imagination goes crazy. Well, no, what could there be? What might there be? And that can be deadly, because that's the enemy's territory. That's why it says in the scripture that we have weapons of warfare, this light that God gives to us, this truth that God brings to us, this love that God has for us, equips us and arms us to be able to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the truth, the light that we have about God, and bring into captivity those thoughts so that we can continue on in obedience to Christ. Because this is the reality. This darkness enhances these crazy imaginations, and it's a great place for the enemy to just pretty much whisper almost anything to you and lie to you about it. And this is the contrast that exists. I remember one time when I was kind of out walking. My brother and I had been fishing, trout fishing in Pennsylvania. We grew up doing that. And if you've ever been trout fishing in Pennsylvania, these small streams, they're little tiny streams, and they're pretty much running through farmlands. And so you have to park your car somewhere, and you have to, with all the boots and, you know, the hip boots and the big jacket with all the, you know, gear and split shot and the things you need for fishing. Got your big, huge, long fly rod and your creel and net. And so you sound like a one-man band while you're walking along. You just walk, and the shaking. You got a little rhythm section going on. But I remember we were fishing this one day, and the fishing was really good. We were having such a good time. He had gone one direction, my brother. I had gone another from where we parked the car. And it was so good that we just stayed late. And by the time I got out of the stream and made my way to the roadway, where I knew if I turned right, I would head back to the car where my brother would be, it was pitch dark. It was dark, dark. No sun, no moon, no stars, no light at all. And this was the era when you didn't have a cool little cell phone where you could make a, you know, a flashlight out of it. No, no, no. I'm just in the dark. And at first I was enjoying the walk because it was the rhythm, the clump, clump, the the whole thing. But then I heard, ooh, you know, so this little noise. And all of a sudden, it's like, what? It's crazy. But the imagination goes wild because it's dark. And that's the difference. If the sun was shining, no sweat. But not there. I was in the dark. We were talking about this the other day, and you shared a story that I thought was straight comical, because we were talking about if you ever go into a friendly room, mm-hmm. you know, we typically don't turn the lights on that much. So what? Help me with that story. Help me remember it.
Right. So our daughter was a newborn, and we were at home, and I had actually broken my ankle and was wearing a day cast. So I didn't have to sleep with the cast on. And so I hear my daughter in the other room crying, and I'm thinking, well, she's hungry. And, you know, my wife, I want to make sure that she's all right. So I'm going to go get the child and our daughter and bring her back in the room. But I only had one leg that was working. So I start hopping out into the living room. Well, you know, I knew where everything was at, but I didn't realize that our oldest son had been playing Legos out in the living room. And I go hop, hop, hop on my good leg. And I land right on a Lego out in the middle of the room, which sends me right back up into the air. And favoring that foot, I land on the other ankle, which was broken, and hit the floor. And all that to only realize that my wife was already in the other room because our bedroom was dark. So I didn't even need to go through that experience.
That's funny.
But I think that, you know, when you talk about the contrast, it's this darkness and this light. And when we talk about coming out of the shadows, there is a conflict that begins to happen in any person that turns towards the Lord. Because when you're living a life unto yourself, when it's just whatever you can get as quick as you can get it, as much as you can get it, and try to live the happy whatever life has been offered to you that you've bought into, you're walking around in that imagination that the devil does a really good job building for you. But when you turn to the Lord, you turn toward light, and revelation comes. And the revelation of who God is a God of love that draws you to him. But at the same time, there is a recognition of your own filth, of your own sin, of how sin has marred you and made you less than God intended for you to be. And there's where the conflict really comes into a person's life. And of course, the world offers all sorts of solutions that it's even, I believe, easy for followers of Jesus to buy into, because we understand that where you have darkness and you have light in these contrasts, that we can look in our own selves and go, well, you know, that's darkness. That's the darkness part of me. And that's the light, or that's the evil and that's the good. That's the yin and that's the yang. In fact, and I just even love the title. He's a psychoanalyst. I don't know if I'd ever want to be called that. But his name is Carl Jung. And he promotes this off this whole phraseology of the yin and yang, going, wholeness for humans depends on their ability to own their own shadow. Like we have to admit and then be able to control and move this evil part of us. But then what happens, I think, is that we kind of know that we've got this to deal with. There's this life, this part. And then religion comes along. And this is what John was really dealing with, that religion comes along and ultimately said that you're bad, God is good, and God will love you more as long as you cut your hair right, wear the right clothes, don't get tattoos, all the different things that religion says that you have to do. And so religion, what it does subtly is it heaps the very same thing that sin heaps on you, and that's shame. Because throughout Scripture, no one ever was able to live up to the religious standards. And so we find ourselves in this conflict of what we do believe is evil versus good. And if only we could get good to overcome in our life. But that isn't what John is saying. And that's what you were talking about, that the fight isn't good and evil. It's evil and light. And I want to read the scripture that you referenced earlier that John wrote in his gospel. He said, Jesus said, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." So religion says ultimately that your evil life, the part of you that never gets it right, has to ultimately be done right. In other words, religion says, overcome evil in your life and you'll be loved. But Jesus said, come into the light, beloved, and be loved. It's a stark contrast. So let me say that again. Religion says, overcome the evil in your life and you will be loved. But Jesus says, come into the light, beloved, and be loved. Now, we stay in the shadows because ultimately we look at ourselves and we don't love ourselves. And so Jesus is saying, it's humbling. It is incredibly humbling to come into the light because it exposes everything that ultimately we don't like about ourselves, that we know that are so in contrast to who God is. And yet, if we humble ourselves and we move into the light, we find healing. We find wholeness. We really find a sense of joy. We find that we really find this renewing that happens in our life. We're even invigorated. In fact, I like in the 1930s, there was a series of books that ultimately they came out with a radio show called The Shadow. And it always opened up with these words. And I like the background ominous music that radio did at the time to create the emotion of mystery and intrigue. And so that's going on in the background. And the announcer would say, "Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows." Now we know, you know, that's just make believe, but we know the evil that lurks in our heart. And so we stay in the shadow. And we think that that's the place where, boy, we get that worked out, we're okay. But Jesus say, no, come out of the shadows. I already know what's in your heart and I love you. He calls us the beloved. So come out of the shadows and be loved. The other thing that John really brings out in this is that ultimately when you have light and then you have a substance, it creates a shadow behind it. And so he brings in this whole relational component. And what happens when we choose not to come into the light, or we have an area of our life that we choose to keep in darkness because we love that corner of our heart that experiences the whatever experience is there, it creates a shadow so the light of Christ cannot shine through. And that always ends up hurting in relationship, which is why John says, if you walk in the light, It'll result in healthy, good relationships. You are in fellowship with God and you're able to be in fellowship with others. So as we walk into the light, then that actually ultimately changes the parts of our life that are creating the shadows that keep the light of Christ of moving through this. Let me give you an example this way, because there are people, and I've come across them, they say they love Jesus and then they use these words, "I can't forgive. I can't let this go. What they've done to me is just too great." And I'll never forget this, the moment that I was completely and totally humiliated in front of the body of Christ by being brought up in front of the church. And I walked out, and I literally walked out in the church that I came to know Jesus in, the place where I developed all these wonderful relationships, in tears, knowing that I wasn't going back. And I remember the Lord speaking to me a number of months later as I'm still trying to process this hurt and pain that is in my heart. And the Lord said to me, "When did I forgive you? because I'd moved it into the light. I'd prayed and said, Lord, I need your help with this. And I'd moved it into the light. And the Lord said, when did I forgive you? And I said, well, you actually forgave me over 2,000 years ago. He said, you don't need them, the person that hurt you, to be part of the process of forgiveness. You can forgive long before they ever ask. Forgiveness is a choice that you make in your heart. You have to let that go and move into the light of the truth that I just gave you. And the moment I moved into that truth, I experienced a dynamic of God's love, so that when I sat down over lunch at a Chinese restaurant with this man and looked across with him, I was able to look at him as the beloved. And I did what I could to help him to be loved. That, though, required me to walk out of the shadows. And I believe that my daughter at 4 years old was an incredible theologian. She just didn't know it, because she was talking to someone, and I was hearing the conversation. And she said to this person, don't remember who it was, but she said, my dad knows me and loves me. And I believe that the Lord is wanting you to know this morning or today or this afternoon or evening, whenever you're watching this, that your Heavenly Father knows you and loves you. So step out of the shadows and live in the light that He intends for us to live.
Amen. Amen. Here's the term I want to use for that. That is a brilliant truth, because it's a light truth. Mm-hmm. It's the truth of the light of the love of Jesus Christ. And it is. It just changes everything. When you're not trying to get to the place where you're loved, but where when you come into the light, knowing that you're already loved, that it's emanating from Him, and then the conflict is over. Yeah. You know, this is the answer. At least you found the light switch, which is the answer, by the way. You know, if you can find it when you're in the darkness, just find a light source. Find the place where the light is, and this is where the light is, in the life and the love of Jesus Christ the Lord. And this opens everything to us if we do it. If we step out of the shadows. See, that's the truth here. This contrast and this conflict bring us to a place of challenge, because, you know, it doesn't just automatically happen. Right. Well, this is because it's God's will. It's just going to happen. He's just going to do it. No, that's not true. If you refuse to believe, the wrath of God abides on you, the Bible says. But if you're willing to believe this truth, if you're willing to step out of the shadows and out of the darkness and into the light of the Lord, then whoosh, this forgiveness, this great grace and love begins to fill your soul. And so it's an if then. That's kind of how this works. If you will move into this, then this will happen. And so if you'll walk in the light, because He's in the light, then you'll have this fellowship with one another. And so no matter where you are today, our heart's cry for you is that you will at least lean into this truth that God loves you with an everlasting love. You may have been, you know, just raised on the idea that God is harsh and hard and, you know, stern and nasty. But the truth is that God is gracious and loving. And this is certainly the truth that John brings out in both his gospel and these letters that he writes. So lean into that truth. Begin to believe, if you will, enough that you start to look into the love of Christ. And of course, we have all of the Bible. We have the source and the resource of the truths of Christ, where we can learn of the love of Christ, where we can look into this. But you can look into the lives of other believers. You can find a fellowship with people. You can find yourself in a Zoom group or a home group or a church group somewhere where the love of Christ begins to be shared. And it's provable. It's verifiable, because it's real and it's the truth of the Lord. And so we begin to look into this because we've leaned into it, and then we learn. Then we begin to be changed by this. The victory, this overcoming the conflict part, it starts to happen for us, and we begin to know that He actually does love us. I actually am the beloved child of God. And so my big goal for the day is not, ooh, I got to do some amazing thing. No. Here's my big goal for the day is I just want to be loved. Yeah. And whatever I do, I want it to be done because I'm learning that this is a part of the Lord. I am living in the love of Jesus Christ. And that's why we say it's a laboratory course. It's not just a, you know, you sit and dot the I's and cross the T's. Oh, no, no, this is experimental. This is experiential. This is getting right in the middle of it and allowing this love of Christ, just like Rich shared, this love of Christ to start to fill you to the point where you're able to let this love of Christ flow through your life, flows into and through your life. This is our heart's cry for you. This is the choice that you have to make. And it's not just one decision for Jesus. Well, I decided for Jesus years ago, and so I haven't changed my mind. Well, no, 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 no. We make choices every day, thousands of times probably every day. And each time we make a choice, there's a bit of a challenge because here's the conflict. Here's this contrast. Are you going to choose darkness? Are you going to choose the shadows? Are you going to choose to walk in the light of the love of Jesus Christ? So, beloved, you get a choice. Here's the challenge. Be loved. Beloved, be loved. So, Father, thank you for that. We pray that for everyone that we can serve and service in these relationships, and whether they are a part of this network already and we're a part of a living relationship with them, or maybe they're just tuning in to hear this for the very first time. We bless them in the name of Jesus. We see you loving them with an everlasting love. We see them as the beloved children of God. And our prayer, our heart's cry, our unified request, Lord, is that they will learn to be loved. They will lean into and learn and look and begin to live in the love of Jesus Christ so that they will do just what John said, have this fellowship with one another in the complete confidence that the blood of Christ cleanses them from all sin, and the joy and the grace and the blessing and the love of the Lord will not just abide upon them, but flow through them. We believe you for that, and we give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.